Blog Talk Radio.
Not walking in the Word of God, you'll never be able to walk in the anointing of God. And one of the first issues that come up when we're walking in the anointing or when we're learning how to walk in the anointing is the reality that God has given gifts unto men. Somebody say amen. And in the Word of God, there are three particular places where God has indicated that he has given gifts unto men. And I want to make that even more particular now, that not only has God given gifts unto men, or in particular in God giving gifts to men, that he has given gifts unto the body of Christ. Look at somebody and tell them that all of the gifts are for the body. So So here is what I want to tell you tonight as we begin to start out, and I'm going to talk about this a little later on in the week when we talk about, in particular, the prophetic ministry. The reality of it is that the prophetic ministry and the apostolic ministry, the evangelical ministry, the teaching ministry, the pastoral ministry, all of those ministries are for the building up of the body of Christ. And anybody who is operating in the prophetic, or anybody who is operating in something that seems like the prophetic and it is not contributing to the upbuilding and strengthening of the body of Christ, I want to serve notice on you tonight that they're not operating in the prophetic, they are operating in a spirit of divination. See, if we're gonna get the real release of the anointing of God in our lives, we got to come out of some of our perversions, our tendency to go to people who are not interested in building the body of Christ to receive a word from them. Listen, if a person is not active in the body of Christ and not connected to the body of Christ, they do not have a word for you. If they give you a word, it is not a word from the Lord. It is a word that comes out of a spirit of divination. And how many of you know that if you yield yourself to the spirit of I'm talking about your 1-900 numbers. Oh, glory to God. I'll talk about it later on in the week. I'm going to share some of that with you. I'm talking about all of your witch doctors and all of your soothsayers and all of the folks that you call to get a little enchantment and tell you what your relationship is going to be about. Well, I can tell you what your relationship is going to be about, even if I don't know your name or anything else. I can tell you that it's going to be just like that last relationship was, because you're still doing the same thing that you were doing in that last relationship. Every time you call them up, they already know something about you, because if you didn't have no problem, you wouldn't be calling them up. God wants us as the body of Christ to make a decision, and I can't even get into the message like I want to at just this moment, because I believe that this is where the Holy Spirit wants everybody here today in this service tonight, in this first service, to understand that if you're going to have the anointing of God in your life, it becomes absolutely necessary to use divine spiritual methods to get the anointing of God in your life. Anything that does not come from God will have the tendency to rob you of what God wants to do in your life. Can I tell you that some people are not able to walk in the anointing of God because they have embraced a spirit of divination? I'm supposed to talk about this a couple of nights from now, but because they have embraced a spirit of divination, they do not sense the flow of the anointing of God in their life. And no matter how much they're stretching and reaching and so on and so forth, trying to get the flow of God in their life, they're not able to get that flow of God in their life because they have embraced a spirit of divination. And I want you to understand that until that thing is released off of your life, and I just feel led tonight that I'm going to pray for some folks tonight. Those of you that have been to the soothsayers, and those of you that have talked to the 1-900s, and those of you that have talked and embraced the false prophets, those of you that have gone to the witches of Endor, those of you that have gone to the current witches, those of you that have gone to those folks that allowed them to speak into your life, tonight is your night to be released from that ungodly embrace and that ungodly handicap that has come upon your life that is hindering the release of the anointing of God in your life. Well, you don't realize right now that the gifts of the Spirit are in operation now, and right now I'm proclaiming to you by the operation of the discerning of spirits that God is getting ready to set some people free tonight from that spirit of divination that has rested upon your life, that has followed your life, that has worked as a cancer, that has worked as a hindrance to you, that has caused you to be unable to go forward. You should have came to this service tonight. Some of you have been trying to pray, you've been trying to fast, you've been trying to move forward, but you feel like there's a dark cloud over you, and you say, God, what is wrong with me? What is the problem here? Oh, I'm getting ready to prophesy to somebody else. You've been busy in ministry, and you've been trying to make that thing work, and every step that you've been taking, you've been facing such severe opposition. It's all right to face opposition when you're making progress, but you've been facing opposition, and you've had no progress. You take two steps forward and four steps backwards. I want you to know that there has been an enchantment, there has been a pronouncement against you, and tonight God is going to break that thing off of your life. God's going to break that off of your ministry. And when God breaks that off your life, when God breaks that off of your ministry, I prophesy to you that you're going to be able to go back and do what God called you to do, and you're going to have a new kind of oil of the anointing that will be flowing in your life. And somebody is going to say, what happened to them? What happened to their life? How did things change for them? Well, it's because of the tangible release of the anointing of God that is upon your life. Somebody give God a praise. Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit just had to let me get that out of my system. Glory to God. Now let me just back up a little bit and share with you what is going on in the church right now. We had a very powerful seminar earlier today dealing with what God is doing in this prophetic apostolic hour, and the tapes are available, but I want to share just a few things out of the Word of God. Now understand that any work that God is doing by way of the operation of gifts in the body of Christ, it is because of what God has said in His Word. And in the Word of God, we find that there are three different types of gift ministries that are available to the body of Christ. And those of you that were in the time of study this morning, you understand that three is the number of the Trinity. You understand that the three is the number of divinity. You understand that three is the number by which God chooses to manifest and to give revelation. So in the Word of God, we find three different sets of gifts that God has given to the body of Christ. And the first one that we hear about so frequently is found in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. So let's go there and look at that particular area right now. And I'm going to read that, and then we're going to go to a couple other passages, and we're going to put this thing together for you tonight. Let's go to the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, which is one of our theme passages here for this particular conference. And in this particular chapter, the fourth chapter, beginning at verse number 10, it says, "He that ascended is the same. He that ascended is the same also that." Let me read that again. "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Look at somebody and tell them that Jesus went up that he might fill all things. The desire of Jesus is that he might fill all things. All of the gifts that are designed to operate within the body of Christ are designed to manifest the hand of God that will fill all things. God desires to fill all things. Look at somebody and tell them that Jesus wants to be all in all. Let's look on just a little bit further here and look at what he did in order to fill all things. "And he gave some." Somebody say he gave some. "He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." And let's look at the purpose why he gave them. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And let's look at for how long. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a," look at somebody and say, "a perfect man." Look at somebody and tell them that the ministry is for maturity. Oh, glory to God. And those that will operate in the fivefold ministry must be people that are mature, because their primary purpose is to bring maturity. One of the problems we have in the body now is we have immature people trying to mature immature people. And if the blind meet the blind, they're both going to fall in the ditch. It's still true. There is no such thing as being involved in fivefold ministry where there is immaturity. By its very definition, those who are involved in fivefold ministry must be individuals who have come to a certain level of spiritual maturity. You know, I'm about sick of baby prophets. I'm about sick of baby apostles and baby evangelists and teachers and pastors. Can't take nothing, weak jellyback people. They have a calling that does not fit in this fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Because in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, we see that the fivefold ministry gifts are designed to bring the body of Christ to maturity. Now, I'm going to say some profound or some powerful things tonight. So I want you to keep that in mind, that the fivefold ministry is designed to bring the body of Christ to maturity. Glory to God. Now, let's look at verse number 14 for just a moment here. "That we henceforth be no more" what? Glory to God. The fivefold ministry is designed that we henceforth be no more. You know, anytime you sit under a ministry that is designed to be fivefold in nature and you continue to be children, then understand that there is a problem with the fivefold. Not with the fivefold ministry that Jesus set up, But understand that the person that is walking in that fivefold ministry, there is something that is wrong if people continue to be immature. Do you know that some churches function on the basis of keeping everybody babies? How many of you know that with growth there comes problems? You know, when all of my children, and you know, they're still kids, 15 and 11 and 6 years old and 7 years old, I should say. You know, when all of my kids, they were coming along, they would cry a little bit as babies, but they really weren't too much a problem. But, you know, when they begin to grow up, they begin to have their own mind a little bit. You know, that's the part you have to whoop out of them, their own mind. You know, they all mind like the mind that you have. You know, they really get on your nerve when they start acting just like. So you thought you just started acting like that when you got 25, because that's when you recognized that you were acting that way. But no. You started giving mom and daddy them kind of problems when you were quite young. Well, some ministries, their desire is to keep people in a state of immaturity, because as long as people stay in a state of immaturity, all you have to do is to stick a bottle in their mouth and they'll shut up. Just pacify them. But how many of you know when people begin to grow, the pacifier won't work anymore? I remember when as our children were growing up, we'd give them the bottle, give them the pacifier when they wanted to try to settle them down and what have you, stick the pacifier in their mouth, just stick the bottle, they go to suck it and suck it and suck it and suck it. Well, after a while, you stick the pacifier in their mouth and they go, every now and then, about 2 a.m. in the morning, you really want some sleep in the worst kind of way. I mean, you just need it bad. And about 2 a.m. in the morning, they're in the crib and the laugh don't get you going. Then they cry. You get that to the crib and you get your pacifier, stick it in their mouth. Well, the first thing that happens, you get to the crib. You know when they just want some attention. You get to the crib and they stop crying, look at you. Then you stick the pacifier in their mouth. They suck on it. You're looking at them. You go back over to the bed. As soon as you get in there, it's like they got some kind of gift of discernment. As soon as you get in the bed, pull the cover back on. Look at somebody and tell them that growth is expected. As a matter of fact, anything that is not consistent with growth will clearly be out of the will of God and out of the purpose of God. When people are not growing, there is a lack of manifestation of divine purpose, because God wants growth and development to occur. And do you know that anything that God has given you, God wants that thing to come to maturity? You know, when I first started prophesying, when I felt the anointing of God upon me to prophesy, there were times the anointing of God would come upon me and I just, go. Now, that's been a lot of years ago. It'd be a shame if I get up here now and the anointing to prophesy come upon me and I just, and some people don't understand maturity. Because, you know, when a prophet who is mature comes and prophesies to you, they may stand flat, but they look right in your face. You don't have to be old and bent over. As a matter of fact, some of the people around you, many of them around you, may be older than you are. But yet they recognize a fathering spirit. That is because that is one of the major qualities of the apostolic. Now, I'm going to be talking about the apostolic. I'm going to be talking about some of the attributes of the apostolic. I'm trying to get to some of those tonight. But I want you to see this first area of ministerial gifting, which is the fivefold ministry. Everybody say five. Now, look at somebody and tell them that five is the number of grace. And understand that wherever there is a gift, it is because there has been a measure of grace that has been given. Anything that we do in God is because God has given us the grace, the undeserved, the unmerited favor. God has given us ability that is beyond the measure of anything that we know and anything that we have in and of ourselves. If you think that you are wise enough and smart enough to do the work that God has called you to do, then you're not ready to do it. When you come to the place where you recognize that no matter how many degrees I have, no matter how many smarts I have, no matter how much intelligence I have on a particular issue, no matter how much people like me, when you come to the place that you recognize that in myself I'm not able to get this job done, that I'm not able to do it in and of myself, then you are a perfect candidate for the release of the anointing of God in your life. God will not release the anointing in your life, as a matter of fact, until you come to the place where you have emptied out and said, God, there is nothing that I can do. God, I've come to the end of myself. I don't have any tricks up my sleeve. I don't have any slick strategies of my own. God, my dependence is totally upon you. And when you come to the place where you are totally dependent upon God, then that's when you see the release of the anointing of God in your ministry. Now listen to the kinds of things that happen when people come to the place where they realize that it's not in them, where they realize that it's not in a title. What happens when people realize that it's not in them and that it's not in a title, then they begin to see the move of God in their life, despite the fact that they may not be officially recognized with a title. Philip was a deacon in the church in Jerusalem. And the deacon or the diacona, they have a responsibility of simply serving the body. As a matter of fact, that word deacon literally means to serve tables. You remember how that when the deacons were appointed in the church, that their responsibility was to make sure that the proper portions of food and the proper portions of supply got to the widows in the church and to the various widows that were there. That was their responsibility. And Philip, as a deacon, took on that responsibility and carried out that responsibility. But listen, by the time we got to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, we see this man Philip, who was a deacon in the church, who had the responsibility of serving tables, the responsibility of making sure that the basic cares of the ministry were taken care of. Now in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, we see that same Stephen caught up somewhere down in Samaria. What is he doing as a deacon? He's down in Samaria preaching the gospel. Now watch what happens. He does not have the title at this point of an evangelist. He is just a person in the church who's a deacon. But look at this deacon in Samaria. He goes down to Samaria and he confronts demonic spirits. He confronts spirits of divination, and folks that are bound by evil spirits are set free. He confronts sickness and disease. And this deacon, whose hands have been serving the table, goes around laying hands on people and their sicknesses are healed. This deacon that was responsible for serving tables goes to Samaria, preaches the gospel, and so many folks are getting saved until he has to call back to, they didn't have the phone like we have the phone now, but he had to send word back and let the apostles know at the church in Jerusalem that something is happening here in Samaria. I want you to know that when you learn how to come to the end of yourself and recognize that all that God wants to do, he is going to do it through a yielded vessel, then it doesn't matter what title you have. It doesn't matter whether or not you've been recognized as a particular gift ministry. The reality of it is that it will cause there to be the release of the anointing. And when the anointing is released, everywhere you go, you're going to have an impact on somebody. Glory to God. This is the first level of ministry, where there are the fivefold governmental ministries. Everybody is not called to governmental ministry. One of the things that we have to set the arrow straight on is to recognize that everybody is not called to governmental ministry. There are some of you that are sitting here tonight, and it's not a down statement to you in any kind of way. You're not called to be an apostle. You're not called to be a prophet. You're not called to be an evangelist. You're not called to be a pastor. You're not called to be a governmental teacher in the body of Christ. You're not called to be a governmental teacher in the body of Christ. And because you're not called to do that, then you can't walk into that if that is not your ministry calling. And the reason for that is because if you walk into it, then you will walk outside of the measure of grace that has been given to you. And the last thing that we need are people operating in a ministry in the body of Christ who do not have the grace. Because when people don't have the grace, what they do when they don't have the grace is they use force. force is never an adequate substitute for grace. You've got to have grace to minister. Now, there are some people that their grace requires that they operate with a great deal of authority. And I will say to you that in every fivefold ministry, there has to be the use and the manifestation of the authority of that ministry. If you're going to be a prophet and prophesy the word of God, you're going to establish people in their ministry. If you're going to prophesy the direction for the church, and let me just make a distinction here. There are people in the body of Christ, according to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that have the gift of prophecy. Look at somebody and say, there are some folks that have a gift. And those who have the gift, according to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and now I'm talking about another level of gifting, and look at somebody and tell them, these are manifestation gifts. In the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, we have been talking about ministry gifts. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we're talking about manifestation gifts. Look at somebody and say, manifestation gifts. Those who operate in manifestation gifts, according to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I want you to know that those individuals are not necessarily fivefold ministry people. They are people that have a measure of grace upon their life to minister in a particular gift, and if they step outside of the ministry of that gift, they will be outside of their grace. And so one of the gifts that's listed there in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians is the gift of prophecy. Those that prophesy, and literally to prophesy means to speak forth the mind of God, to declare the mind of God, and in order to declare the mind of God, you must receive the mind of God. There are those in the body of Christ that have the capacity to receive the mind of God that they might declare the mind of the Lord. But now if they're not in the governmental ministry of a prophet, the only thing that they can do with their declaration of a prophetic gifting is to encourage people in the body of Christ, to encourage, to comfort, and to bring exhortation to them, to give encouragement, to give comfort, and to give exhortation to them, to build them up, to strengthen them, to encourage them in what God is doing in their life. That is a very necessary, a very important gift in the body of Christ. But that is not necessarily the fact that a person is a prophet. A prophet is something that is different. A prophet has a different measure. A prophet has a governmental ministry. Look at somebody and tell them a prophet has a governmental ministry. And so that one who is a governmental prophet, they set direction for the church. That's why when we talk about the fivefold ministry, we look at the hand. We make reference to the hand in relation to the fivefold ministry. We talk about the thumb as being the apostles. We're going to talk about that. We talk about the next finger as being the finger of the prophet. The prophet finger is that finger that we use to point and to give direction. And the responsibility of a prophet is to give direction to the house of God and to the people of God. And listen, when you begin to understand what your measure is, if you have the gift of prophecy, but the grace is not on your life to operate as a prophet, then you understand that your job is not to give direction to the church. Your job is not to propel the church into the direction that the Holy Spirit would have them to go in. That is the direction that the prophet is to give to the body of Christ. Your job as a person with the operation of the gift of prophecy is to bring encouragement, is to bring comfort, is to bring uplifting to the people of God within the body of Christ. Those that have the gift of prophecy, they are able to set things in order. They're able to set things in order by giving their declaration as to the direction that the church must take. Do you realize that some of the reason that churches are not able to get to the vision and the mission that God has taken them to is because there is not the operation of the ministry of a prophet that can give direction and say, God has called you to go to the nations. Yes, I see where God has called you to go to the nations, but you need a prophet that will tell you that God has told you in going to the nations to start with this nation. You see, the prophet will give direction and says that God says start with this nation, because if you start with that nation, you're going to run into great discouragement and you may never get around to the fulfillment of your ministry. Some people are not walking in the fullness of their ministry, and the reason for that is because they have not had a prophetic word from the mouth of a prophet. Stop hearing from people who are operating outside of their measure. They have not heard a word from a prophet that will give direction to what God has already shown them. Do you know if God has called you and you say, well, God has called me to be a pastor. That's good. When you going to pastor? When you going to pastor? How you going to pastor? What's your measure of grace in pastoring? You see, this is one of the ways that the body begins to work together, is you need the ministry of the prophet in the church in order to give direction. And you know, if an individual is a prophet of God, they're going to be able to, number one, confirm what your ministry is. But more than confirm what you see, you don't need me to come to you and say, yea, thus saith the Lord, thou art a pastor after mine own heart. You already knew that. Now, I may give you a little bit of confirmation, but you know what happens to some people? They just get arrogant about it. I know I'm a pastor. God called me, and he confirmed that word in me. What you need God to do is you need God to give you some direction now. Well, what do I do now? I need some direction. You need direction from God. That's when you need to hear from an oracle, from a vessel that is able to declare the mind of God with the specifics about the direction that you will take. Now, the problem that some of us have is we have a lot of word and no direction. I hope you heard me tonight. You're not getting bored, are you? A lot of word and no direction. You can get plenty of word from people with a gift of prophecy, but if you want to get some direction, you got to get that from a prophet. Did you hear me tonight? If you're going to get some direction, you're going to get that from a prophet. And listen, there are many people that are in ministry, but yet they have no real structure and organization and design to that ministry. And the reason for that is because they need to hear not only from a prophet, but they need to hear from an apostle, someone that can speak divine balance into their lives. You see, a prophet, an apostle, if I may point this hand again, with the thumb, the apostle can touch and operate in all of the ministries. Doesn't mean that he has the grace to be an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher, and that is his set calling, but it means that he is able to touch all of those ministries. The wonderful thing about an apostle is that an apostle is a gatherer. Look at somebody and tell them that an apostle is one who is sent forth with a divine commission to carry out a specific purpose that God has given. And what one of the key things that apostles do is they bring a gathering together of the fivefold ministry. One of the reasons in the church now why we have evangelists trying to be pastors and have pastors trying to be evangelists and have the fivefold ministry all out of whack is because we don't have enough of the infusion of the apostolic in the church. Let me tell you something else. The reason that we have the kind of misalignment and confusion and division and people fighting against one another and struggling with one another. Don't you know that we've got so many ministries that are in a corner over here and a ministry in a corner over there and a ministry in a corner over there? And you know, some of the times it just disturbs me sometimes. I thank God for people that come and visit this church and that God is raising up and doing a wonderful work. But one of the things that disturbs me is the number of people that from time to time come into this ministry and they stand up and they address us and we let them tell us who they are and what have you, and people come in, they say, I'm pastor so-and-so, I'm evangelist so-and-so, I'm this and I'm that, and this morning the Lord spoke to me in prayer and told me to come to your church. Now, wait a minute. You mean that your feet are not planted anywhere, but you're a freelance evangelist? Don't get upset with me. I told you it's prophetic breakthrough 2000. Freelance pastor. And then Prophetess Maria, the one that really gets me is the freelance prophets. Don't you know that you do not have the right to prophesy to anybody in the body of Christ unless you're connected to the body? It can't be anything more or less than the spirit of divination if you're prophesying and you're not connected to the body. But God called me out of the church, and, you know, I've been meditating on the Lord at home, but I have a word. I'm going to tell you, you come in my church to prophesy. First of all, if you go in any church to prophesy, you better come up under the mantle of that house that you're coming in to prophesy in. Other words, I'm going to ask God to allow your words to choke you. Well, and let me just put it this way. If someone comes to visit you in your house and they're ready to prophesy, you better discern what their connection is. Don't let them come in your house. Let me go a little bit further. Don't even let them prophesy on your telephone unless you know what they're connected to. They have no connection. Then you tell them, hold on a second. Keep that word to yourself. Get connected, and then maybe I'll hear something that you got to say. Man, don't let anybody pastor you that is not planted somewhere. There's no such thing as a telephonic pastor. I know that's mean. Get away from the television pastor. You know, it doesn't matter how profound a ministry may be on television and how big a church that they have on television, how great that ministry is. Do you know that when you're sitting there and watching them on television, they are unto you an evangelist? Did you hear me? They are unto you an evangelist. They can't be unto you a pastor because you're not under their shepherding. They have no accountability to you. You have no accountability to them. The devil is a liar. They cannot hold you to any charge. You cannot hold them to any charge. They can't be a pastor to you. So when they stand there and they tell you that they are your radio and television pastor, I'm not going to call them a liar. I just call it immaturity. And you know that if it's immaturity, there's a real question about being in fivefold ministry, because fivefold ministry is designed to mature the body of Christ. Anybody who is not connected to the body of Christ cannot speak effectively into your life. Somebody say amen. So we see the second area of ministry gifts, and these are manifestation gifts. So look at somebody and tell them that they are nine. They are nine. Now, I'm not going to talk about them tonight, but before this week is out, I'm going to delve into what those nine gifts are, and we're going to deal with them in sets and in categories before we're through this time. Then the final category that I want to give to you before I talk about the conditions that we're confronting and how God wants to reform his church, the final category that I want to give you is in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. Everybody say Romans chapter number 12. And in Romans chapter number 12, we have what are called motivational gifts. Motivational gifts. Look at somebody and say motivational gifts. Now, I've given you three M's of ministry gifts, or three M's of gifts that God has given to the body. The first M of gifts is the gift of ministries, or ministry gifts, and that is the fivefold, the ministry. The second area of gifting that I've given to you, and of course, that was in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. The second area that I've given to you is in the area of manifestation gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we find that there are nine manifestation gifts. And then finally, the motivation gifts are in the book of Romans chapter number 12, beginning at verse number 5. And there are seven motivational gifts. Seven motivational gifts. And I'm going to be talking about what those giftings are. Now, before we can talk about those gifts in any detail, and before we can talk about how it is that you can discern and understand and discover what your particular gift is in the body of Christ, now look at somebody and tell them this, that everybody has a gift. Look at them and tell them it may not be governmental, but everybody has a gift from God. Now tell somebody that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that God distributes the gifts of the Spirit according to his will. In other words, I want you to understand that God does it the way that he wants to do it. God gives the gifts and distributes the gifts the way that he wants to distribute the gifts. Now, look at somebody else and tell them that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that God does not want us to be ignorant concerning spiritual things. Now, here is why God does not want us to be ignorant concerning spiritual things. Because we are a three-dimensional people. Look at somebody and tell them that we are three-dimensional. And if we are ignorant of spiritual things, then we will miss out on living in one of the dimensions that we live on. We live on three dimensions. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Now, most of us have learned how to live on this first dimension, and that is the dimension of this body. We know how to take care of these five senses, don't we? When them taste buds go to work, and we just work with them, don't we? We have learned how to be effective in satisfying the needs of this physical body. Today I made a mistake. I know you don't make any. After we had our sessions today, and they were powerful. My God, we had a session on the prophetic praise and worship. And oh, it was awesome. A session on the prophetic pastor. I tell you, God just moved in both of those sessions and the plenary session in the daytime. Well, it came around to lunchtime, and I tell you, it was a good lunch. Most of you know that pastor is a vegetarian, so one of our fine chefs around here cooked some vegetarian lasagna. And they were so gracious, the people that worked, they were so gracious that they even fixed my plate for me. Y'all take care of me around here. I love you. They took care of Pastor April. But here's where I made the mistake. They gave me just the portion that I needed. I believe that the Holy Spirit was working with the sister. She gave me just the portion that I needed. But it was so good until I had to have two more portions. And I mean, I'm not your big greedy eater. Y'all look at me in there. I'm delivered from food. I was telling somebody on Sunday, hey, you stick around Pastor Coleman, you don't get delivered from nothing else. You get delivered from food, because if you obey me and walk in the fast that I call you to walk on, you will have victory over food. I'm going to tell you that right now. You'll get victory over food. Folks say, I can't fast. I don't know how to fast. Well, listen, if you're going to do ministry, you got to fast. See, Jesus gave his disciples while he was here on earth, he gave them a release, a conditional release. He said, they can't fast while I'm here. They ain't going to fast. But he said, when I'm gone, they're going to fast. And I want you to know that Jesus went on back with the Father. Now it's time to fast. Some people say, well, I can't fast. And we give you instructions on how to do it. Some people take medication. We give them instructions on how to fast. And one of the things you learn how to do is get some control over this physical body and this physical and your physical appetite. Because the Bible says if you've been given to food, then put a knife to your throat. Oh, y'all didn't want to hear that tonight. Yeah. You got to learn how to get command of that area. And you know, when you really want God to release the anointing in your life, one of the things that will help that is fasting and praying. By the way, let me just say this here and I'll finish the story. You do understand that the first time that the prophetic is mentioned in the Word of God is mentioned in relation to Abraham. How many know that that's true? Amen. And when it's mentioned in relation to Abraham, the Word of the Lord comes to a particular king and says, go to Abraham because he's my prophet and he's going to pray for you. The first time that the prophetic is mentioned in the context of prayer. Anybody that's going to operate in the prophetic must be someone that is given to prayer. You do not want a prophet prophesying to you that don't have a prayer life. If they don't have a prayer life, they ain't got nothing to prophesy. What they going to say? Jesus said, I only say the things that I hear my Father say. Well, if you ain't in the position to hear nothing that the Father's saying, what you going to prophesy? Can't be nothing but lies. Oh, it's going to be all right after a while. Glory to God. So here I did. I had my other two helpings of lasagna, taking care of that one-dimensional man. And after I had to, I'm telling you, I'm strong and ready to go in God. I mean, the anointing of God was all over this place, the teaching and everything, just great in the Lord. And about an hour after them two extra helpings of lasagna, I was like, I overdid it. Well, we've become good at taking care of that one dimension of man. But understand that God allows us to live on a couple of other dimensions. And one of those dimensions is the soulless realm. But the part that I want to relate right now is God has made us a spirit being. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm a spirit being. And the spirit being is the part that particularly relates to God. It is that part that relates to God. And until we are alive in our spirit, until we have come into spiritual bonding and spiritual relationship with God, we really are not in a position to begin to operate in the gifting that God desires to put upon our lives. Not in a position for it. Look at somebody and tell them, you got to get in the spirit. I want you to hear something here. The Word of God says this: they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Look at somebody and tell them that. Can't please him. The flesh cannot please God. Whatever you're going to do that's going to be pleasing to God, it's going to be because there's a work that's being done in the spirit. You know, God has to show me some things to help me out. Because sometimes we get so aggressive about ministry until we're ready to make that thing happen. Look at somebody and say, make it happen. Well, I want you to understand that when God has given you something to do, you can't just make it happen in the flesh. You got to get in the spirit in order for it to happen. And you know, God will let you work to a grinding halt. And then he'll say, how about getting in the spirit? Because it's in the spirit that God's going to pour out the oil of his anointing. Look at somebody and tell him, get in the spirit. All right, now let's look at what has happened. And I'm going to be about just about 10 or so minutes more, and then I'm going to move into another dimension of dealing with some of the things that we're dealing with tonight. Here is where our problem is. The church is not living up to its promise and its potential. How many know that that's true? The church started out with an awesome moving of the Holy Spirit. And I don't believe that God allowed there to be an awesome moving of his Holy Spirit for us to get to the day and the hour that we're in now and to have a limited moving of the Spirit of God. Not only is the church not operating in its purpose and manifesting the power of God, the church is not walking in the promise of God's word concerning the manifestation of power. You see, one of the ways that the anointing of God is released is for us to come to grips with the truth. You don't start with the truth, you'll never be able to get into the anointing. The truth is the only thing that's going to, the truth is vital to you being able to walk into the anointing. And so here's what we understand from the Word of God that shows us that we're not operating where we should be operating. I'm going to give you a few passages. First of all, we find out that Jesus said, the works that I do, you're going to do also, and greater works. Look at somebody and tell them that we're to do greater works. John chapter number 15, verses 12 through 13. Just take a note there. The work that we're going to do should be greater works. We should do greater works. And the reason that we're going to do those greater works, Jesus said, is because I'm going to my Father. Look at somebody and tell me he's going to his Father. Understand that all ministry must originate from the fatherhood of God. Jesus says, I'm going to my Father. You're going to be able to do greater ministry because I'm going to my Father, and my Father is going to send the promise. And look at somebody and tell them that the Holy Ghost is the promise of the Father. If you bear no relationship with the Father, you cannot get the promise of the Father. See, you're never going to be able to get away from the anointing that comes through fatherhood. You're never going to be able to get the measure of the anointing that God wants to do in your life until you begin to understand the importance of walking in a fathering relationship. And listen to what the Word of God tells us in the book of Malachi, the third chapter. God says that before that great and terrible day, and I'm going to be talking about this on Wednesday, God says that before that great and terrible day, I'm going to send Elijah, that he might turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, and that he might turn the hearts of the sons unto the Father. And the reason that it's necessary that the hearts of the sons be turned to the fathers, and that the hearts of the fathers be turned to the sons, the reason that it's necessary that there be some divine principle order that comes with fathering relationships, because if there are not fathering relationships that occur, then there cannot be the tangible transfer of the anointing. Understand that any anointing that you have is going to come through some form of transfer of the anointing. He realized that while Jesus was here on earth in this earthly tabernacle, that the anointing that Jesus walked in was the anointing that he received from his Father. Look at somebody and tell them that he received this from his Father. Jesus said, everything I do what I saw my Father do. I say what I heard my Father say. Everything Jesus said, as a matter of fact, I'm so caught up in doing what the Father said. I'm so caught up on being in relationship with the Father until when you see me, you have seen the Father. I come to manifest the Father. One of the problems with people being able to do ministry effectively is the fact that there is no fathering of their anointing. Oh, somebody just got upset with me then. Let me give you a couple of others that shows us that we're not living up to what we should. We have received the promise of power. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Jesus said that you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We have the promise of power. How many know that Jesus does not lie? Look at somebody and tell them that power means three things. Glory to God. Ability, efficiency, and also might. Look at somebody and tell them again. Ability, efficiency, and might. When God gives us power, he gives us ability, he gives us efficiency, where you don't have to grind yourself to a dying halt to get it out. Ability, efficiency, and might. Listen, I am tired of working too hard for the anointing. You know the way that you get the anointing released in your life is you just yield. Yield to the promise of God. God, you said it, I believe it, and that's it. Now I'm going to walk in it. Somebody say amen. Next thing that God pointed out to us is that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church that Jesus is building. 16th chapter of the book of Acts, of the book of St. Matthew. The gates of hell would not prevail against his church. How many know that if we're walking under the anointing, that nothing that the devil do will be able to prevent us from doing what God has called us to do? How many know that? Glory to God. Now, let me give you another thing. The church is to contain the full measure of God. And I want to go there. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 17. Look at somebody and say, the full measure of Jesus is contained in his church. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Look at somebody and tell him, wisdom and knowledge comes through, wisdom and revelation comes through the knowledge of him. And look at what's going to happen in verse number 18. That the eyes of your understanding be what? Enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Look at somebody and tell him, God wants to reveal his glory in the saints. Tell somebody that the inheritance of glory is in the saints. And look at verse number 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Verse number 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he what? Raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Watch this. Far above all principalities and power and might. Look at somebody and tell them that he's promised us power. Oh, glory to God. Look at where it is. Where it is. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Look at verse number 22. And have put all things, look at somebody and say, all things under what? His feet. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be the what? The head over all things to what? God put all things in his hands and gave him to be the head over all things to what? Jesus wants to invest his full measure where? The church, which is what? Which is his body, the fullness of him that what? Filleth all in all. So God wants to invest his fullness in the church. And so if we see the church not functioning in the fullness of what God desires to do, then we know that we're not living up to our divine purpose. Look at somebody, something that purpose requires that we walk in the fullness of God. So now let's look at what our problem is. A part of our problem is that we have become too apostate. We have gotten into a situation where we have decided that we're going to do it our own way. We've gotten into a situation where we have abused and misused the gifts that God has placed in the body. And as a consequence of that, they have been robbed of virtue and have been robbed of anointing. And now what happens so often is you have a whole lot of singing and a whole lot of dancing and a whole lot of beating and a whole lot of slapping on the hands, a whole lot of pouring of oil, but you see no tangible manifest change. And the reason for that is because there has been an abuse of what God has put in his body. Now, look at somebody and tell them that the container, let me put an S on that. Look at somebody and tell them that the containers for the fullness of God are those who are connected to the head. Now, watch this. Christ is the head, and no matter what part of the body you claim to be, if you're not properly connected to the head, then whatever part you claim to be is dysfunctional. Now, I want to tell you that some of you from the South, you will understand what I'm getting ready to say right now. Do you know that when you take the head off of a chicken, that chicken will still move around? Some of y'all been in the city too long. They ring that head on that chicken. That chicken's head is disconnected from the body, but the chicken's still walking, doing stuff frantically, going from one side to the other. That's what has happened to some people who are so-called operating in gifts in the body. They have become disconnected from the head, and I'm telling you, they're flowing too. They're walking, look like they got something going on, still flapping their wings, legs still moving, still got a belly. They got an unction. Somebody said they got an unction, but no function. But it's just a matter of time for that chicken to die because he's been disconnected from the head. And in the body of Christ, we must maintain a connection with Christ, who is the head, in order for him to pour in his fullness. Look at somebody and tell me, I want to be a part of the fullness. If he's going to pour his fullness into the church, I want to be a part of the fullness of God. And you know, when you become a part of the fullness of God, that means that wherever you go or whatever you do, you can manifest the fullness of God. It doesn't have anything to do with how much of a shake or a quake that you have, but when you understand that you are in the body of Christ and that you are fitly joined to the body, that you are connected to the body, that you are a part of the head of Christ, you're connected together in the body of Christ, don't you know that everything that is in the head is also in the joints? It's basic to anatomy that whatever is going on in the head is flowing down through the body. And so you know that if we're not being effective with the members, it is because there's a disconnection from the head. How many know that Jesus has done his job? Glory to God. All right, let me move on just a little bit further. Let's go to the 20th verse of the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. Let's find out what some of the problems are right here. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 20. Look at what the Word of God says. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I'll go back up to verse number 18. For through him we both have access by what? How many spirits? By one spirit unto the
There it is again. Look at somebody and tell them, the Father. No fathering, no ministry. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being what? The chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, what? Fitly framed together, groweth unto a what? Holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. A habitation of God through the Spirit. Now look at somebody and tell them that God is restoring apostles and prophets so that the foundation of his church might be established. He's restoring them to the body. Now, I want you to turn with me real quick to Acts chapter number 3 and verse number 21, and I'm going to show you where we are in the body, and I'm finished with the teaching for tonight. Acts chapter number 3 and verse number 21. How many want Jesus to come back? How many want him to come back quickly? Amen. Glory to God. I know that some people don't want him to come back too quick. I was talking to one of my children, and they were telling me, they said, Dad, he ain't coming back before I get 25, is he? I said, I don't know, but I tell you this much. If you're ready to meet Jesus when he returns, it's going to be better than anything that you could do between now and 25 years old. Glory to God. And some of us get the same way. He ain't coming back before I get to buy that Lexus. He messed up. He ain't coming back before I get married. But listen, honey, just be unsaved. When he come back, you stay here and get married. You think marriage hard now? Let the saints be called up out of here. You ain't got nobody to pray about that knucklehead. No more bad kids. All the saints been caught up. Glory to God. Listen, I'm ready to go when he's ready to go. Glory to God. Now look at verse number 21 in chapter number 3 of the book of Acts. Whom the heaven must receive until the time. Let's do verse 20 and then 21. And he shall send who? Jesus, which before was preached unto you. How many of you know Jesus is coming back? Let's find out when he's coming back. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of what? Restitution of what? Look at somebody and tell them that all things must be restored before Jesus returns. Whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, understand here that everything that God has spoken by the mouth of the prophets that should take place in the earth must take place in God's timetable before Jesus comes back. Jesus said something very powerful being in his word that we've got to bear in mind. Jesus said that I'm coming back for a bride that is without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. Look at somebody and tell me he's coming back for a prepared church. He's coming back for a powerful church. And he's coming back for a ready church. Let's do it again. He's coming back for a prepared church. He's coming back for a powerful church. And he's coming back for a ready church. Now he's coming back for a church that has a foundation. But not only a church that has a foundation, but he's coming back for a church that has a building on the foundation. Now look at somebody and tell them that you are a part of the building. Now the longer that, I want to tell you something here. The longer that it takes us to get about the business of doing our Father's business, the longer that it's going to take for Jesus to return and catch us away. Glory to God. Did you see it in the Word of God here? Until the restitution of all things Heaven must receive him until the restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. God is going to do a great and powerful and profound work of restoration in the earth before the return of Jesus. Look at somebody and tell them that you're living in a powerful time. Now, let me just short-circuit a couple of things here. In the 1980s, God began to restore the prophets back to the church. Now, yes, there were some extremes that began to occur because some people begin to take it too far. And I want you to understand something about the prophetic. It is one of the most dangerous areas that is embraced by the prophetic sometimes. It's the area of finances, money. Look at somebody and say, money. And many of you have been exposed to prophetic ministry that has been so closely connected to money until you have felt like it has been prophecy for money. Look at somebody and tell them that God is not in the business of prophecy for money. Now, there is nothing wrong with, just like in the Old Testament, when people would go to see the seer. Look at somebody and say the seer. And look at somebody, give a Hebrew word, say the roeer. And when people would go to see the roeer or go to see the seer in the Old Testament, they would go to the seer with a gift. Nothing wrong with having a gift. But whenever there was a price tag on the anointing,
with hands lifted high.